Hello, this is Kyle Jones. Within the era of the Roman Empire, the cities and provinces under Roman dominion had been issued coinages that were of utmost import to the Romans and especially amongst the dominates of Rome. Latin inscriptions were used on, quote, official imperial issues, end quote, for the provinces under Rome. But in Hellenistic cities such as Antioch and Syria, coin inscriptions were scored or engraved in Greek. The portrait of the emperor or a local deity was usually on the obverse or the heads side of the coin, but the reverse or tail side of the coin varied. And upon this reverse side, various political or religious themes with great significance could be observed. For the Romans, provincial coinages served as a primary medium for spreading Roman propaganda and their agendas. Zodiac, astrological, planetary, and lunar symbols often appeared in Roman coinages. The sign of Capricorn, which was the birth sign of the emperor, Augustus Caesar, was a well-known scored coin. Capricorn was even used by later emperors since it was linked to Augustus Caesar and represented a divine right to rule the empire. Other provinces had also identified themselves with a specific sign of the zodiac on these ancient coinages. For example, Antioch used Aries, the ram, on its coinage for two centuries. Most important, the first time that Antioch used Aries on its coins coincided with the Roman annexation of Judea and Samaria. It was of utmost importance to calm the buzz of the crowds during Rome's rule, especially with the historical significance of a Messiah to come, and therefore the emperors and Caesars found it all too convenient to place themselves as identifiable with the gods who were to come on the coins issued by Rome. This identification that the Roman emperors had with the gods can be seen as follows. When Herod died in 4 BC, Rome divided his Judean kingdom among some of his sons, but none of them was given the title of king for the province of Judea. The Romans were fearful about calling anyone a king of the Jews because the title potentially had a messianic message and would have potentially empowered the Judean masses to anarchy. Although the Romans had been confident of Herod's allegiance, his two sons would have to prove themselves. Thus, Archelaus was made ethnarch and received the largest and most important part of the kingdom, namely Judea, Samaria, and Idumea. Two of Archelaus's brothers were awarded smaller kingdoms. Such kingdoms were called Perea, which is on the east bank of the Jordan. Philip ruled from 4 BC to AD 34 over lands in southern Syria. Archelaus showed that his ability to rule eventually was nil. Rome eventually overthrew Archelaus in 86 because of complaints about his abusive rule and banished him to Vienna, a small town in Gaul. After Archelaus was removed from his office, Augustus ordered the governor of Syria, which was Publius Sulpicius Quirinius, or Quirinius, to overlook the annexation. Quirinius traveled from Antioch to Judea, where he auctioned the property of Archelaus and conducted a census for levying taxes on the Jews. Augustus converted the ethnarchy of Judea, Samaria, and Idumea to a province under the rule of a prefect who was a Roman knight. Returning to Antioch, Quirinius left behind the new prefect, Coponius, to manage the government of Judea. The prefect had been appointed by Augustus and was responsible for the daily administration of the province. But the power was held by the imperial governor in Antioch, who controlled the legions. The prefect had only some auxiliary units for policing the province. To lightly close in on a time frame, Ares the Ram makes its debut on coins that were issued in Antioch close to, if not during, the time of Quirinius' governorship. These particular coins portray the head of Zeus or Jupiter on the obverse or head side. The reverse or tail side of the coin illustrates for the first time a leaping ram looking backwards at a star. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 18 tells us that Jesus was born when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and that there were shepherds abiding in the field, which is a spring to summertime event, keeping watch over their flock by night. The ram on these coins, particular to these coins, that is, symbolized the zodiacal sign Aries, that is, the springtime sacrifice. These same coins from the era of 5 to 11 AD had on their reverse or tail side a depiction of Aries with a star above him and said, quote, of the people of the metropolis of Antioch, and holds the monogram A-N-T, which means Antioch. The historical records indicate that Quirinius became governor of Syria in 86. This was after his role as census taker for Rome in his earlier governmental position, which was a little over 10 years prior to his governorship. The scorings from 11 to 12 AD on the reverse or tail side depicted Aries with a star above him, and said the same thing as the first coins of 5 to 11 AD, but with the monogram BM, which stands for the date, quote, 2 and 40 years after the Battle of Actium, where Augustus Caesar defeated Antony and Cleopatra in 31 BC. The scorings on the Antiochus coins from AD 12 to 13 depicted Aries with a star in apogee above him, with Greek letters gamma and mu depicting the date by the 43rd year from the beginning of the Actian era, and saying, quote, in the magistracy of Silenus, of the people of the city of Antioch. For the scorings on the Antiochus coins for 13 to 14 AD, we have Aries with a star in apogee, or above the ram, if you will, and the Greek letters delta mu, which inform us that this is the 44th year of the Actian era. These same coins say, quote, in the magistracy of Silenus, of the people of the city of Antioch. As a side note, if you, the listener or reader, is interested in a further study of such coins as the ones that we are discussing, I would recommend that you look into obtaining Kevin Butcher's, quote, Roman Provincial Coins, An Introduction to the Greek Imperials, end quote. Aries was for sure used for two main reasons on the early Antiochus coins. The first was that Alexander the Great had split apart his Greek dominion upon his death. He left the Seleucids in control of Syria and Babylonia, and the Ptolemies in control of Egypt. These two Hellenistic kingdoms fought over a province in Syria and Judea, in which the Seleucids were in between. The Roman annexation was extremely important to the Syrian prestige from a historical perspective, namely that it represented the achievement of a longed-for goal. Secondly, the use of the zodiac sign Aries, which symbolized their destiny, shows the importance of astrology to these people. Placing Aries on the coins may also have served as a means of expressing nationalistic pride in the annexation. Either way, the Antiochus Romans now had a greater control of the lands that they ruled by the sign of Aries. When Julius Caesar arrived in Egypt in 48 BC, he found that astronomy in Egypt had greatly advanced beyond what Rome knew. Sosigenes, a Greek astronomer from Alexandria, introduced Julius Caesar to many scientific findings, in particular to an Egyptian calendar that was simpler and far more accurate than the Roman calendar. The Egyptians had already looked at the sun and earth in their contiguous relation to take 365 and one-fourth days for the sun to yearly traverse the earth's sky. Interestingly, prior to this belief slash understanding, the Egyptians believed in a 12-month with 30 days per each month, year, plus a 5-day festival to account for the completion of the sun's movement through the yearly sky. Such days of accounting to recorrect or recalibrate the, quote, out-of-phase movements are called epigonal days. Egyptian astronomers monitored the slow shift of the seasons by watching for what can be called the heliacal rising of Sothis, known to us as the Dog Star or Sirius. A heliacal rising occurs when a star or planet is first seen in the morning sky after having been obscured by the sun's brightness. The time between a star's heliacal rising determines the time it takes for the sun to make one full circuit among the stars, which is called a sidereal year. The heliacal rising of Sothis, which is the brightest star in the sky, also coincided with the annual flooding of the Nile, which was an important event for the Egyptians because the nutrient-rich waters renewed the farm fields in the floodplain. When the heliacal rising of Sothis fell to the Egyptian New Year's Day, the first of the month of Thoth, a new Sothic cycle began, which being every 1,461 years. This calendar eventually became modified. Greek scholars who followed the camp of Alexander the Great produced an incredible library of knowledge and led to great understanding and advancement in astronomy. In 237 BC, during the reign of Ptolemy III, a convocation of priests issued a decree of Canopus, which was written on a stela similar to the famous Rosetta Stone, issued 43 years later by King Ptolemy V. The decree of Canopus announced the adoption of a new Egyptian calendar that incorporated a leap year. In 46 BC, nearly three centuries after the decree of Canopus, Julius Caesar recognized the elegant simplicity and accuracy of the new Egyptian calendar, and he incorporated the leap year concept into the Roman calendar, which we call the Julian calendar. In creating this calendar, he added 2 months as a temporary measure to get the seasons to agree with the customary Roman dates. As we shall see later, one of the most important aspects to our determination of the incarnation of the Christ child is within our corruption of understanding that December 25th was the birthday of Jesus Christ, due mainly to the winter solstice or first day of winter. In 533 AD, Dionysius Exiguus, a monk who lived in Rome, proposed that the enumeration of years be established on the birth of Jesus. Dionysius added up the lengths of the reigns of the Roman emperors since the years of Jesus' birth, that's quote, birth, end quote, which to the early Roman Catholic at that time was December 25th, AD 0. Such a birth of Jesus, Dionysius Exiguus furthered his timetable by adding a week to December 25th to begin the new year, which would begin on January 1st, AD 1. It is due to this dating that many problems had arisen concerning the historical fact that Herod had already died in B.C. 4. If Dionysius was to be followed, there would be many inconsistencies in syncretizing biblical chronologies with Jewish and other secular extant historical chronologies. Flavius Josephus records in his historical work called The Antiquities of the Jews that Herod died after an eclipse of the moon and was buried before Passover. There was a lunar eclipse on the night of March 12th through the 13th of B.C. 4, which was a month before Passover on April 11th, 4 B.C. During Christ's incarnation, Luke cites Quirinius, which is the same as the biblically mentioned Quirinius, a mere census taker at that time, who became governor of Syria by AD 6, and who was responsible for stamping Ares on Rome's provincial Antiochus coins and taking a census under orders from Rome's Augustus Caesar. As we look back to Roman governors of Syria, we see from 23 to 13 BC that Agrippa held office, and from 12 to 10 BC that Titius held office, from 9 to 6 BC that Sentius Saturninus holds office, which at that time Quirinius was a mere census taker under Sentius Saturninus. We have from 6 to 4 BC Quintilius Varus in office as governor, and from 4 to 1 BC Calpurnius Piso, and from 1 BC to AD 4 Gaius Caesar, from 4 to 5 AD Volusius Saturninus. From 6 to 7 AD we have our biblical and Roman historical Sulpicius Quirinius, and from 12 to 17 AD Silanus as governor. Tertullian, a 3rd century historian, tells us in his Adversius Marcion, Book 4, Chapter 19, Verse 10, that Sentius Saturninus was governor of Judea and that censuses were taken. Such census taken might have been employed due to the ancestry of Jesus himself. For the sake of time, I must end here. Next week, we will continue our study of numismatics within the time frame of the Judean provincial leaders. We shall also establish the zodiacal trines derived from the Greeks that conform to the very incarnation day of the Christ that was born in Bethlehem. If you have any questions concerning this lecture or any previous lecture, you can contact me at kylejones.com 37075@yahoo.com.